A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I, apparently Sean Mapes, have not been listening to the show because that intro scared the hell out of me. I didn't know you guys changed the music to some, like, heavy metal thing, so I was totally unprepared. But I am Joe George. You can find me on Twitter at Joe George Radio. You guys can get in here all show long. We will still be the most interactive sports show here in Houston at 713-780-3776. Where's Paul? I don't know. Paul's sending pictures on Twitter from a courthouse. So we are going to open the show today with an investigation. And really more just like, I'm going to be Paul Gallant right now. I'm going to put on my tinfoil conspiracy theory hat of like why Paul is not here. So Sean and I, or I don't know, Sean, do you want credit for this?
Sure. Okay. I'll take credit.
Sean and I have come up with five reasons why we think Paul Gallant is not here and why he may or may not do a radio show today.
Yeah.
The first reason why Paul Gallant is not here doing his own radio show after the Astros kicked the hell out of Canada and smashed the Blue Jays last night. Last week on this radio station, Paul Gallant admitted to kicking his cat off a bed. So is Paul not here? Is Paul at a courthouse because of animal abuse?
Questions need to be asked.
I have more questions. How do you have a nightmare about a movie that you've never seen, Paul? How do you have a nightmare about the movie Chucky? What are you hiding from us? Like, what are you hiding? Who has a nightmare about a movie that they've never seen before? I've seen Chucky. Fair nightmare, Paul. I'll give you that. But, like, why are you having nightmares about a movie you've never seen? So that's number one. Number two, he's a traitor to the city of Houston. If you're on Twitch, look at this poster right here. He's two-faced. Mariners Astros fan. Is Paul Gallant being investigated for being a traitor to the city of Houston? Number three, something I've known about Paul for quite a long time. We worked together briefly at the flagship of the Texans. Sean, I know he's got a bad taste in women. So, is Paul there to get a paternity test? It's a fair question.
That is by far the most fair question you've asked so far.
What, the most fair?
Yes. If we're ranking things on fairness.
I mean, he admitted to kicking his cat off the bed.
Yeah, that is true.
At least that's a fact, okay? Like, that is a 110% fact.
This is the closest it can be a fact while still being speculation. I'll
no,
say that.
No king of all Twitches. Paul is not pregnant. Did he get someone else pregnant? Like, come on, guys. I know it's 2023, but like Paul's not pregnant. Number four, just being a conspiracy theorist in general, he literally has a tinfoil hat. Maybe aliens are real. Like maybe trash cans didn't exist. Is Paul Gallant being investigated for being a conspiracy theorist? But my last one, and this is the one I feel the most confident about. Paul is being investigated for Paul is being investigated for trying to ruin the career of one of his teammates. My sources tell me, Sean Mapes, that Paul Gallant was once upon a time, maybe still is, an active member of Texans Reddit. So I'm curious if Paul Gallant is not here today because he's being investigated for being Barry Allen 899 on Texans Reddit, who said, I'm bored by the lack of Texans content. And then the responses led to people saying they're Jake Asman bored. Okay? Is Paul Gallant being investigated for trying to take down Jake Asman and get moved to the wheelhouse?
We know that Jake Asman he'll call some shots on people.
Paul being sued by Pearl Jam. That's a good suggestion, Virginia.
Yep, that's also a good one.
That's a very good, I could beat for butchering their songs. Like, that is 110% a realistic reason why Paul Gallant is not here today. Now, Paul will be back today at some point, but what's your favorite reason why Paul Gallant is not here? Is he getting a paternity test? Is he targeting Jake Asman? Animal abuse? For being a traitor to the city of Houston? For just being a conspiracy theorist? Whatever you guys got, twitch.tv/ESPN975. And of course, 713-780-3776. Let's get to the real stuff, okay? Last night, the Houston Astros absolutely dominated the Toronto Blue Jays. They went 11-4. And if you are a believer, and the stats like kind of back it up over the last five seasons, that when the Astros score 10 or more runs, the next day kind of sucks. Just looking at their schedule the last couple days here, it's, you know, they beat Milwaukee 12-2. They get shut out the next day, lose 6-0. They beat Oakland 10-1. They lose next day to Minnesota 7-5. It's just this like weird thing that the Astros do where they score a bunch of runs and then the next day it's not so great. But last night's game was really, even though like you don't have Jose Altuve in it, last night's game is really like what you can see from the Astros when they're at their peak form. Like Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker, those guys lead the way all the time. They are the two best hitters in your lineup by a lot. But then when you look at Corey Jolks, like coming in out of nowhere, this guy, this story is absolutely incredible. Like Corey Jolks is a guy that every single team could have had in the Rule 5 draft this last year. Not a single team in Major League Baseball and the Astros really wanted him. Now he's up here, and the local kid just hits tanks. Like, he is so good in the batter's box. Like, he's not the best fielder, but he is, like, the perfect fourth outfielder and part of the rotation that Dusty Baker has right now with this team. Because when you look at what they're doing, it's Chaz McCormick, Jake Myers, Corey Jolks. Two of the three are playing every single day. And we're going to get into this a little bit later if Paul never shows up. I planned for a full two-hour show, not knowing when he'll actually be here. But, like, how do you add a bat to this lineup besides left field making the most sense? But Corey Jolks, like, every single time you start to have those conversations, he makes the conversation to, well, why do you need someone? Like, Corey Jolks, just that shot last night. And the Astros win, you know, the other thing about last night's win, and really just this stretch of this season that's just been so absolutely incredible, is what they've gotten from J.P. France, Brandon Bielak, Renel Blanco in one start. These guys are like 4A pitchers. And Brandon Bielak last night, yeah, he gave up 10 hits. He gives up like a lot of hits. But he was really effective in this game. And it helps when you have your lineup chasing out the starting pitcher who was being fat shamed last night on Twitter. I saw that. There's a guy who used to be an intern here. He works for Visa now. He was fat shaming Alec Manoah. His name is Greg Peterson. You can look at his timeline. He was fat shaming him. He said maybe if he lost some weight, he'd be a more effective pitcher. It was mean, okay?
I will say,
he's large.
Yes, and the fact that he's struggling now with the pitch clock, maybe he's winded.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Is it a real thing? Who are two of the worst pitchers in baseball right now? Alec Manoah, Lance Lynn. Makes you think. Like,
and
Alec questions.
Alec Manoah was so desperate that I don't want to say wasted, but he wasted some of those precious breath in his lungs trying to blow a Jeremy Peña bunt into foul territory unsuccessfully.
I know, like, it's a funny idea. But to actually do that at a Major League Baseball game is, like, baffling.
I'm, like, half joking. Like, he's legitimately so desperate to get to not give up a hit that he is trying to blow a ball foul.
First of all, can we not bunt Jeremy Peña? Like, I mean, can we not? Like, you're really good with the bat. And maybe it works, like, once every, you know, 10 times. But can we not? Like, you just don't need to do it.
Catch him napping. You know, lay down a bunt. That's small ball.
I mean, look, that was one of the funniest. I missed the start of the game. I started watching like right after that happened. And when I saw the Twitter videos, like, I was like, oh, this is a joke. Like, this is doctored.
Yeah, I also like heard about it before I saw it. And so I was like, oh, he like I'm sure like just stood over it and like kind of pretended. No, he like got down on his chest.
Yeah, he went all
in.
To
blow it.
Well, first of all, like if you're gonna do it, like if you're gonna go in with the bit, that you're gonna try to blow the ball.
Yeah, you
out
gotta
of,
try it.
You gotta do it. Like you gotta really get in there. Like, you can't half ass that kind of a thing. And like, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe he, you know, maybe if he lost a couple pounds, like. And he didn't, you know, use all of his exhaustion blowing a bunt out of bounds or into the foul territory. Like, maybe he would have been better. But he stinks this season. But, God, the Astros, like, they crushed him. Chasing a pitcher after 0.1 innings is a hell of an accomplishment. Like, I don't really, like, I guess technicalities here. Chasing a pitcher with getting nobody out is more of an accomplishment. But that's got to be up there.
Yeah, no, I will say getting zero outs is more impressive than getting one out.
Yeah, I guess. Well, no, because you could have got the double play and ended the inning, and they never got the double play with Alcmino out there.
Yeah, no, I'm saying it would have been more impressive if they didn't get out. If Alex Bregman just hit a home run, that would have been more impressive.
I guess.
Instead of flying out.
Look, last night's game was absolutely, it was cakewalk. It's fun. I'm curious, like, how many people when the Astros go up 6-0 in the first, turn off the television. Like, I'm not one of them because, well, we have to do this. But to be honest, if I didn't have to do this today, I probably would just turn off the TV because it's like, it's 6-0. You know, the Blue Jays, like, yeah, they can score. But honestly, like, you have such a good lead in the first inning. Like, it almost feels like you're just wasting the rest of your night. But that's why the pitch clock is good, because now you're only wasting 2.5 hours. He's Sean Mapes. You can find him on Twitter at Sean A. Mapes.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
That's my name.
I couldn't remember if there was an A in there or not. There at Sean A. Mapes. I'm on Twitter at Joe George Radio. You guys can get in here at 713-780-3776. How do you feel about the Astros win last night? And we got some Yordan Alvarez stats we're going to dive into a little bit in the next segment. Will Yordan Alvarez break any of the records for the Astros this season, specifically RBIs and home runs? We talk about it next year. Joe George filling in for Paul Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here is your ambiguously gay host, Paul Gallant.
All right. I'm Joe George, filling in for Paul Gallant here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's get some feedback here from the Twitch, because we will be the most interactive sports show here in Houston. E says, Joe, can you be a little more flamboyant? I'm not used to this straight sports talk. Band name I don't say on the radio. Says, be more sarcastic also. Tell us how you hate everything. Does Paul hate everything? Yeah, Paul hates everything. That's a stupid question. Of course, Paul hates everything.
Yeah. He hates everything, and then especially sports. Like, when you really dig deep,
I just hate Aaron Rodgers.
You just hate sports.
Paul doesn't like sports. I just hate Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. They suck. They're the worst people on the planet. If you root for them, I care for what I say. But like, fine. Like, I don't. And I hate the Cardinals, especially because the Cardinals, man.
Oh yeah, I was thinking Arizona Cardinals. I was like, why? But yeah.
No, yeah. I just have this like strong hate for like the Arizona Cardinals.
Bleep you, Larry Fitzgerald.
I mean, like Larry Fitzgerald, Kurt Warner, Kyler Murray,
Darnell Dockett. Yeah.
Who
just
are
hate
like
all these guys.
Important players in their franchise history. I just can't even. I think we named them all. I think we covered the Arizona Cardinals franchise right there. Like, who did we miss? I mean, Denny Green, I love you, because like one of the greatest sound bites of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, that's the Arizona Cardinals. No, there's no hate towards the Arizona Cardinals. They're like one of the most irrelevant franchises.
They are. They
in
are.
Sports. I don't really know, like, in the NFL, like, they just don't matter. I think most people probably feel the same way about the Texans.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we are hurling stones from a glass house right now.
Yeah, for
about,
sure.
About the most irrelevant teams in the NFL.
At least the Cardinals went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Once, like, within the last, like, 23 years.
Yeah.
So, and the Texans have never been to an AFC title game. But yeah, the Cardinals are like a largely irrelevant franchise. No, it's the...
Carson Palmer.
Oh, good one.
Anquan Boldin.
Oh, I love Anquan Boldin. Anquan Boldin was always like sneaky good at fantasy. Jake DeLome.
The
Snake.
Texans legend Jake DeLome.
Is it Texans legend?
No, he played for the Texans.
Jake DeLome. No, not Jake DeLome. That's my fault. Jake Plummer.
Oh.
I'm thinking Jake Plummer, not Jake DeLome.
Jake the Snake.
You were right. I was wrong. I gave you the wrong name. You gave the correct response. I gave you the wrong name. But last night, the Astros win 11-4. Yordan Alvarez just keeps being Yordan Alvarez. Sean and I were talking about before the show how Air Yordan might be like one of the most underappreciated nicknames in all of sports right now. It's so good.
Yeah, it's so good. He hits home runs. It's Air Jordan, but Yordan, because his name is Yordan and not Jordan.
Yeah.
I feel like it doesn't get enough play. I think locally we do a good job of it, but for how big of a star Yordan definitely should be, especially after the postseason he had and the home run, the World Series, like he should have like exploded in popularity. And it feels like he just kind of is at the same level.
It's almost more like the whole going back to where baseball is just terrible at their job of like marketing baseball players. And
yeah,
like they have Jazz Chisholm on the cover of MLB. Of MLB The Show. That guy stinks at baseball. Like, you could have put Yordan Alvarez on there.
Just because he wears, like, a funny cover glove. They put him on the...
Hey, people love it.
Like, and he does a home run celebration.
Yeah, people love it. Like, not Yordan Alvarez, who had, like, the biggest tank shot in World Series history, it felt like, last year. That thing was incredible. Just no respect. When was the last time an Astro was on MLB The Show? Did Altuve do it? Springer?
I don't think so.
I don't think the Astros ever get that low.
No. It might be, like... Jeff Bagwell, like back in the day.
I can tell you that when the cover for Madden comes out tomorrow, it will not be a Houston Texan. My sources tell me it will not be a Houston Texan.
I had Derek Stingley plus 10,000.
Oh, yeah. That would have been the way to go. Crutches and all?
Yeah. Oh, come on. Boo.
Sorry. All right. So Yordan Alvarez is on pace right now for 43 home runs this season and 143 RBIs. Jeff Bagwell has the record for home runs set in 2000 for 47. Lance Berkman has the record for RBIs for 136. He set that in 2006. If I was going to bet money today on which one he breaks, it's definitely going to be RBIs. Because I'm sure at some point like we will have like a where is Yordan Alvarez watched for like 10 days because his hands hurt or there's fireworks or like whatever's going on with Yordan. Yordan doesn't want to play. Yordan doesn't have to play. But like, I would say like it's pretty solid that he has like a really good opportunity to break Lance Berkman's 136 RBIs this year. Like, obviously Altuve's not back again. He should be back on Wednesday. Dusty Baker said yesterday before the game, likely not back tonight, should be back tomorrow. And if you have, you know, Altuve, Peña in front of you all the time, like you're going to have guys on base more than not. And like the way the bottom of the order is hitting currently, like if you get this production that you're getting from Corey Jolks, Jake Myers, Chaz McCormick, hopefully more Yonier Diaz at some point here in the near future, like Yordan Alvarez is going to have the opportunity with guys on base to get guys in. And like that to me is where it's the easy bet that Alvarez has of which one he has a better chance to beat is RBIs. I would love it to be home runs. I've been on the record that Yordan will hit 50 at some point in his career. I just don't know if he's like he's not pacing for that, as the folks say. So I'm gonna go RBIs. Sean, you going RBIs or home runs?
Yeah, I'll also go with the RBI to have 53. On June 6th is pretty nuts when you see it like typed out like that. And yeah, like you said, the top of the order is going to have more stability there. I mean, we love what Mauricio Dubon did in the first 2 months of the season, but you expect a little bit more and a little bit more consistent it more consistently from Jose Altuve as opposed to Mauricio Dubon. So there are going to be ducks on the pond, so to speak, for Yordan Alvarez. And yeah, it really just comes down to, and this is something that he's probably going to battle for the rest of his career, realistically, is just, are you going to get a full healthy season out of this guy? And just having to manage that. And I'm not saying he needs to literally play all 162.
Yeah.
But just if he can just hover in the, you know, high 140s, 150 range, where it is like, he's getting scheduled days off instead of, like you said, Dusty Baker not knowing which hand is hurt.
Oh, that is like one of my all-time favorite things from the postseason last year, when Dusty Baker said both of his hands were hurt, and then Jordan had to speak with the media and be like, that's not true.
I understand why we don't talk about it as much, but like, we should really talk about that more.
Yeah, no, that's one of those storylines that, like, if the Astros don't win the World Series and win the first two rounds of the playoffs in the way they did, that, like, is a way bigger deal than, like, it's honestly, like, if they lose the World Series, it's why, honestly, people are just calling relentlessly. Like, it starts with Dusty Baker should be fired because he doesn't even know which hands are
exactly
hurt for Jordan Alvarez.
It is like a scarlet letter that gets put on you.
Yeah.
Unless you win the World Series, then no one
cares. Oh, yeah, everything that's like Dusty Baker, like you get a pass. Like everything that's ever happened in Dusty Baker's career and last season, all the things that were like good and bad with last season, you just get a pass. And
how far back does the pass go? Does it go back to like how he handled Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor?
That's an unfair question to ask me, John. I don't blame Dusty for those guys.
Okay, so he does get a pass.
He gets a pass.
Okay.
Because it's what everyone did. Like, if you really, like, deep dive nerd, had the time in your life, not with a 2-year-old like I do, and wanted to be like, how many innings were the Astros pitchers throwing in the early 2000s? Like, it's probably the same as, like, Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor. So, like, I don't blame him for that.
This just remind me, you saying this is what everyone does. There's a, during the regionals of the college baseball, I know it's not the World Series yet, but whatever, the regionals, the postseason. Texas had a pitcher that threw a complete game with 130 pitches in the year 2023.
I did see that.
That is, I was
it's
watching
like
it. Jarring. I was watching it, and like when he came back for the ninth inning, I was like, what is going? I feel bad for the young man's future.
Dude, that is like one of those disconnects of where college coach, cares nothing about the players on his team.
If an MLB pitcher or if an MLB manager did that, he might get arrested.
Could
like,
you imagine if Dusty Baker did that? Like, what if Framber Valdez had even a no-hitter going into the ninth, and then it took him 30 to 40 pitches to get the ninth inning, and he threw 140 pitches? Like, Dusty Baker would get crucified the next day. Like, could you imagine what Jeremy Brandon would say about Dusty Baker the day after letting a pitcher throw 130 pitches? College baseball is one of those things that, like, so I moved to Houston 8 years ago, and in the Midwest, it does not matter. We don't care because most of the time, it's freezing when they're playing college baseball. So, like, it's not, you don't go watch because it's 10 degrees out, like when Notre Dame's playing. Like, my dad and I never went and watched Notre Dame play baseball. Moving down here, it was just like my eyes were opened of like how much people care. I mean, the one they do at Minute Maid every year, I guess they do a couple now, is awesome. I went when LSU played 2 years ago, and like that was like one of the coolest things I've ever been to.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those things where it is like it's obviously the smallest, or not the smallest, but it's smaller than college football. It's smaller fan base, less following than college basketball. But like the following for it is like, I would say just as intense as those other ones, and maybe even more intense than college basketball.
And for the second straight tournament, as it's pointed out here on Twitch, the Texas A&M Aggies choked when they had a chance to play Texas
in
a meaningful game.
Twitch, don't, that's mean.
That's so mean.
I feel bad for the Aggies. I do.
Why?
Oh, I mean,
because they're Aggies.
Yeah, no, the second straight. I mean, it's just, man, that really sucks.
I mean, they could have played them in March Madness. Choked.
Yeah.
Could have played him in the College World Series. Choked. Like.
I hope better for these guys, you know?
Yeah.
Man. Okay. My heart goes out. My heart will go on.
Yep. I believe
like
that.
Like Celine Dion.
All right. I'm Joe George, filling in for Paul Gallant. You can find me on Twitter at Joe George Radio. We get the 10-minute drill next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're ready for some football, baby. Dad,
tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
It's Joe George filling in for Paul Gallant here as Paul awaits being selected for a jury or not being selected. Could you imagine Paul being on the jury for like a murder trial?
I don't know. As someone who has worked with Paul for now over a year,
I just don't see it like I just
how long and boring trials are is not a situation for Paul to succeed.
Paul would be
no
such
disrespect.
Being on a jury, I feel like would be like one of the worst experiences ever. Especially like if you get suckered into like you imagine being on the OJ trial.
Yeah. Oh,
and you're gone for just
the OJ, the Casey Anthony trial, where you're like, oh man.
And like when they took their TVs out of the room for the OJ trial because like you couldn't be exposed to anything like that. That'd be. I just couldn't imagine.
How does that work? Like in the age of social media, in the age,
good
of,
question.
Like, do they take your phone away? Like, do they just give you like. Like
a
flip phone and like a Fire Stick, so you can like watch Netflix.
My guess, you probably just like you don't have a phone, and you probably have only like streaming.
Yeah,
like, only like Netflix,
but no Peacock, because then you could watch like the nightly news or something.
Yeah,
or 2020.
Yes, like I could not imagine Paul being like on a jury for like a murder trial.
Let me tell you, if I'm ever in a court of law and I look over and Paul Gallant is standing there, I'm like, oh my god,
I'm screwed.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the 10-minute drill. So obviously, one of the biggest stories going on right now in the NFL is these dudes in the NFL apparently can't read their collective bargaining agreement, in which it says you're not allowed to gamble on sports. You're not allowed to gamble on the NFL at all. Isaiah Rodgers is going to be the latest player from the Indianapolis Colts to be suspended for at least a season. And what's so crazy about this to me is that in the story that ESPN put out, some of his bets were for like $25. Like, what are we doing here? Like, you're going to ruin a season, potentially your entire NFL career, for like minimal bets. No matter how much you wager, you're not going to make more money than your NFL contract. It's just absolutely insane. Yes, I full on went and watched the final play of the Texans game. When the news came out that a Colts defensive back, poster fell, that a Colts defensive back was the one being suspended, because I wanted to see if it was the dude who let the ball go right through his hands and cost the Texans the number one pick. It was not him.
God, I wish it was him.
Oh, that would have been like,
oh my God.
Well, that's the problem, though, is that like the fact that like there's a moment in time where I can be like, a Colts defensive back let the easiest interception of his life go through his hand. The Texans won a game they should not have won, and now a Colts defensive back is being suspended for gambling. Like, that is the problem.
That is going to happen at one point. Like, I'm not even saying, like, a player will throw a game at some point. But also, there will be something that happens where, you know, it happened when Calvin Ridley got suspended, where everyone went back and looked at like these drops that he had in a game against the Carolina Panthers. They're like, well, was he point shaving in this one? It's like, but there will be a point where someone like doesn't recover an onside kick.
Yes.
And then like the ball goes through his legs or whatever. And then 100%. 2 years later, it turns out he did parlays, like March Madness parlays or something.
Yep.
I guess that would be during the offseason. But he bet on like a Tuesday night NBA game. From the facility, get suspended for the game. But the headline is player X suspended for gambling, and everyone pulls up the clip of him like letting a ball go through his legs.
Look, it's the reality of like where we're at with the NFL, because like they've allowed this. I find it fascinating that this hasn't happened in Major League Baseball or the NBA yet, really. Like, if it has, I'm a dummy and I don't recognize that. Like, this is a real problem for the NFL, because it's an intelligence issue of just like, don't bet on other sports when you're on at the team facility. Like, how easy is that?
That's the thing that kills me the most. The rule is just don't do it at work.
Like,
don't do it. Just go home and do it.
Like, don't bet on football. Okay, don't bet on the NFL. You can still bet on college football, and don't bet while you're at work. Like, that's not that hard. Like, it's such a simple task, and they can't do it.
But it's a thing of how easy it is to bet these days, where you can just do it on your phone, and these guys are probably just used to just betting on their phone, and that's where they bet. And then if they're you know, talking about, you know, again, like a college basketball game or something with their teammates in the locker room. And they, you know what? I'm going to, if you're like this Colts player, I'm going to put $25 on of this.
And like he had one wager apparently that was like a little bit higher. But like they said, like the general bets were like 20 to 25 bucks.
I'm, yeah,
like,
I see 25 to 50 range, which is like, which are bets that like I shouldn't be making, but I can make bets of 25 to 50.
Yeah, like if Texas got its head out of its ass and like let us legally bet in this state, then I'd be making $50 bets responsibly. Like, an NFL player, like, if you're an NFL player, why are you only betting 50 bucks? Like, now I'm going to question your gambling, even tactics.
It's funny how we went from, like, man, he's suspended, he shouldn't be betting, like, at the team facility, to now we're just like, and also, if you're going to bet, if you're going to risk your career, risk it for $1,000.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
All right, so other things going on in the NFL. This one is not a really big story, but something I guess I just didn't realize. The Bills broke ground on the new stadium. You know they're doing open roof?
Oh.
There's no roof.
Okay.
They had a game moved last season to Detroit because it snowed too much. Why are you playing football in Buffalo without a retractable roof? Like, I just don't get it.
I feel like that's a situation where they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. Because if they don't put a roof on it, yes. It's like, wait, why are we not putting a roof on this? If you do put a roof on it, though, I imagine locally there's a lot of, we play tough outdoor football.
I get it.
We have a home field advantage when we're playing in the cold. Never mind Cincinnati went in there and beat them in the playoffs. And Miami with Skylar Thompson went in there, almost won, beat them in the playoffs. It's like, it's not that, being cold isn't that much of an advantage, guys. But
exactly.
But it's...
it's not.
But you come, I mean, you're from Chicago, so you know that that's like a part of like people's identity in the cold weather places.
100% yes, but when the Bears build their new stadium, which is like starting to become a disaster in itself, if they don't put a roof, like, I would be mind blown. Now, it's different because, like, in Chicago, you could host a Super Bowl. You could host the Final Four. Like, no one's going to Buffalo for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It'd be like hosting the NFL draft in Green Bay. Who would do something like that? Like, what a great idea.
Hosting the draft in all the places that will never get a Super Bowl, a stroke of genius from the NFL.
What are people going to do in Green Bay?
Nothing. The drive to and from Milwaukee is what they're going to be doing.
On Paul's podcast, he did like this whole thing where he pulled up like top things to do in Green Bay. And one of them was like, go to this Brett Favre painting museum. And it was like paintings of Brett Favre.
And it's just in someone's house, I bet.
Probably. Like, I just imagine like saying, if the wheelhouse in like 2 years is like, hey, Joe, we want to go to the draft in Green Bay. I'm like, no, you don't. You're lying. You're 100% lying. Like,
yeah, I don't think they'll come with that request.
Like, I don't believe you guys if you go, hey, guys, bucket list item. I want to go to Detroit next year and then Green Bay for the NFL draft. Like, that's what I want.
It's always been a dream of mine to go to Lambeau Field while no one's playing. I just want to go.
Yeah, in like, April.
In April.
When it might be snowing.
Yeah. Where are they going to even hold this thing?
Like, great question.
Like, are they going to hold it at Lambeau Field? Because that's the only place that probably can house more than 1,000 people.
It's going to probably be, like, in the Packer Hall of Fame. Like,
I'm pre-mad at that. Yeah, that sucks.
And last thing here, Madden, new cover athlete, comes out tomorrow. RG3 thinks it should be DeMar Hamlin. All right, look. DeMar Hamlin, like, what happened was, like, one of the most terrifying things I've ever seen in my life. On a football field, he's practicing. He's okay. Like, he's going to play this season, okay? Like, he's okay, guys. He's okay. He doesn't need to be on the cover of Madden. It's okay, RG3. You don't need to have... I know Shannon Sharpe just got fired, and, like, maybe you want his job. But DeMar Hamlin does not need to be the Madden 2024 cover athlete. I can be like, I can give you Texans options that are better than DeMar Hamlin.
I actually don't think you can.
No, I probably can't. Laramie Tunsil, highest paid left tackle in the NFL.
Would he be the first left tackle ever on Madden?
I would bet good money he is.
Yeah, no, it's such a funny situation. The tweet is so funny. A, on a couple different levels.
It's so RG3.
It's A, yes, it's so RG3. B, it's so, like, just a very pander move.
Yes!
And then C, it puts everyone with common sense who reads it in the position of, like, wait, how do I say that this is the stupidest idea I've ever heard without sounding disrespectful to DeMar Hamlin.
I didn't know if I wanted to even talk about it.
I was surprised you brought it up.
I didn't know. But, like, it's such a dumb take. It's like guys, you can't ignore it.
Yes, it was a scary, like, 24 hours. Yeah. And then he woke up.
Like, look, it was a weird week. And, like, I was never in the camp of canceled football. And I know there was the people out there who wanted you to share that take. But, like, he's literally practicing. Like, he is going to play football for the Buffalo Bills this season.
If Madden was smart, though, they'd make, like, a special edition where all proceeds go to, like, I don't know, some cardiology thing.
Honestly, they're idiots if they don't.
Just it's like they just charge, like, $79 for it instead of $80.
They do that. But who buys Madden, like, hardcovers anymore?
That is true. Like, the whole idea
I buy my games online, just download.
Yeah, the whole idea of, like, a cover athlete's like, oh, cool, that's who's going to be on the little icon when I'm waiting for the game to load.
And you know what they do? They change it now. Like, multiple times through the season, like, it'll change with, like, Deion Sanders. And, like, they'll have, like, special athletes. So, like, when you open the homepage, it's not even the cover athlete. I mean, last year it was John Madden. I get that. It's named after him.
Yeah, his name's on the game.
His name is on the game. All right. He is Sean Mapes. You can find him on Twitter, at Sean A. Mapes. I am Joe George. You can find me on Twitter, at Joe George Radio. We got a couple texts here about the gambling stuff going on in the NFL. We'll hit on that and what's going on. Also with your Astros, with the outfield rotation. That's next year on the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, Paul Gallant is on his way. Text we got during the show so far, 4884. I'm Joe George, by the way. Paul got held up shopping at Target. Can you fix the app? Damn, I'm sorry to see Paul. Paul didn't get fired. Paul got attacked by his cat in revenge for kicking him off the bed. Another shopping at Target. Oh, it's the same person. That's a dumb joke if you have to say it twice. I think Paul's at the courthouse and get his name legally changed to Princess Glitter. Is that a joke I'm supposed to get? But it was funny.
I don't know if it's referencing anything.
I don't either, but it's great. Is it Tucker? Maybe Tucker called him Princess Glitter. I could see it.
Maybe.
I don't know if that happened, but, like, could I see it happening? Yes. But another text we got there in that last segment, just quickly talking about the gambling stuff that's going on in the NFL. Long-winded text from Josh, but are they getting busted or being for being at the facility due to the time of the bet, location tracking, or being on facility Wi-Fi? Is the league paying the betting companies to track player accounts between 8 and 5? Okay, so they have a partnership with, like, a third party. My understanding is they have, like, this partnership with a third party that helps work with DraftKings. But you have to register your social or all the betting sites. Like, you have to register your social security number, and you have to have your location services on. And basically, there's some kind of deal with, like, these gambling companies and the leagues that when an active NFL player signs up, DraftKings has a list. Like, it clicks on there, and, okay, an NFL player has signed up for our website. They let the NFL know, and there's some third-party intermediary or whatever that is, like, tracking when and where these bets are made, because you have to have your location services on at all times to legally place a bet. Because if you didn't, like, I could in theory bet on a sports book that's based in Chicago from here. So, like, that's why you have to have your location services turned on at all times. So that's how these guys are getting caught, like, being at their facilities. But Wi-Fi, I'm sure all that's part of it. Like, the NFL has billions and billions of dollars. Like, they can probably investigate this better than pretty much anyone on the planet. But getting to the outfield stuff just here quickly. So Corey Jolks, we talked about him a little bit earlier. Jake Meyers, four-hit night last night. Chaz McCormick's playing really well. It was awesome seeing him take that, the rookie from the Angels deep, who was throwing like 104, it looked like. But he was throwing like 102, 103. Chaz took him deep. The defense is playing, the defense and offense from those three outfielders has been absolutely incredible for this team this year. And Vita said here on Twitch The outfield is starting to play itself into what we believed it would be slash hope for. Honestly, I think it's like way above what anyone could have hoped for. Like, no one had any expectations for Corey Jolks this season. I think we had very little expectations for Jake Myers. Like, Jake Myers had like noodle arm, it looked like, was timid in the outfield. The bat speed wasn't good. Just the plate appearances were awful. Like, Mauricio Dubon felt like he was playing center field last year more than Jake Myers. And Jake, he had two rough years of injuries going back to the White Sox series, the ALDS. So when you look what those two guys are doing, then you have Chaz, who's missed time this year. His numbers against lefties are good as always. Like, the rest of them are kind of collectively down. But I think that we've gotten more than you ever could have expected from the outfield. And like, that's why I think when these, you talk about trades and trying to acquire someone and like, and what you're going to do with the deadline if you're the Astros, it's complicated because it's just all, it's like more what ifs with this team than like anyone else. Like, you're not a team like the Yankees have, they have glaring holes on their team. They know what their issues are. The Rangers have glaring need in their bullpen. Their bullpen is a joke. Their offense rakes. Their pitching's good. Shocking. Jacob DeGrom's on the 60-day IL. I can't believe they paid that guy. Like, things I'm not going to do. Pay Jacob DeGrom. In the future, pay Lance McCullers. Like, sorry, Lance. Like, you and Jacob are one and the same. One's just better.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's one's almost a compliment.
One's a lot better. Sorry, Lance. But like, I don't know what the Astros do at the deadline. They got to do something. But, like, you might get Urquidy back. You might get Lance back.
Like you said, that's what makes it so hard. They're not like a Stars and Scrubs kind of roster where yeah. there are like even the guys, because they have stars, but the guys who aren't stars aren't full on scrub. Like you said, like Corey Jolks with how he's been playing lately. You pencil in a left fielder as a need for the Astros, you know, because you don't want to depend on Michael Brantley, which is another what if.
But he's swinging off a tee.
He's swinging off a tee. Yeah, exactly. And then Corey Jolks steps up, and now you're thinking, now is left field even an area need?
I think it's so clearly starting pitching, but the offense, like, the numbers are kind of down.
And even with to the starting pitching point, to what you said, like, oh, Jose Urquidy will be back. And then that's at least depth, like quality depth.
Yes.
More than like Brandon Bielak, who has pitched well, but you feel more comfortable with Jose Urquidy in that role. And so you're not really having to go out and get like a top of the line starter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone is under the assumption that they should be going for like a, you know, a guy who would cost top prospect in
yeah.
Top prospects in return. They just need some arms, like a solid arm, and they have Jose Urquidy. They have Lance McCullers. They're just not available. So it is a very, and of course the Astros injury updates are to the point where I don't think they're lying to us anymore. I think they just like they don't know. Like I feel like they're just mismanaged the injuries.
I don't believe Dusty knows.
I don't think Dana Brown knows. I don't think the head trainer knows.
Dusty Baker's first like 2 weeks on the job, when I worked at the flagship for the Astros, Dusty did an interview and he overshared. And then the next week there was follow-up questions on injuries and he was totally different. And he said verbatim, "I don't know, they won't tell me." Like, now that's 2020. It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
But like, are they telling Dusty Baker everything? Like, I'm not totally convinced on
but
that.
Just with how many times that we hear, I mean, Jeff Bagwell, shadow GM of the Houston yeah. Astros during the offseason, saying, oh, Michael Brantley, oh, maybe we expect him to be ready for opening day.
Foot in mouth.
It's June. How many times guys are ramping up? Lance McCullers is throwing from a mound. He had a setback. He is now soft tossing on flat ground again. And so many times,
Jose
guys
Altuve
ramp
was supposed-
up, grant, ramp up, fall back. Ramp up, fall back.
Jose Altuve was supposed to be back on Sunday. He's now going to be back till Wednesday. It's like the one thing the Astros do, and we'll go to break here, but like it pisses me off that they have guys that sit out for like 7 days instead of just putting them on the 10-day injured list. Like they choose to go with a short bench. It's just like one of the most such a small thing, but it blows my mind that they choose to do this all the time. I'm Joe George filling in for Paul Gallant. Will Paul Gallant be back in the next segment? I think so. I think he will be. It's ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.